if you would turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. And today's message is the power of the Word. The power of the Word. Now, some of you may think, oh, amen. We're going to talk about God's Word. And we are. But we're going to talk about the power of our words. Next week, we'll talk about His words. So I'm excited to get into this conversation about the power of words. The battle of words sometimes. And I want to read to you real quick, as you're turning to James chapter 3, from Ephesians 4:29. And it says, let no word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will be prepared for that for another two or three times during the sermon today. Okay, in James chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. And it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. And I find that interesting. We should have tons of teachers out there. But it says, no. Let not many of you become teachers. Why? Because you will know that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Those of us that teach and preach and help people in their Bible study will be held to a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. And I think it's pretty fair to say we all know that we're not a perfect man or woman. We cannot control our entire body, let alone our tiny little tongue and our word. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body with that little bit. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, it goes. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Do you get that? It defiles the whole body. No matter what we do, when we open our mouth and speak with that tongue, it can defile the entire body in a heartbeat. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, of creature, of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's fascinating. All those things of the earth can be tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. Now I want you to listen carefully, because we are believers. We're a body of believers here. It says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. If we slow down to think about that, when we go down the highway and we're not screaming, bless you! We're saying other things, that we're really saying that to God the Father. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. For does a spring send forth both fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Now listen carefully. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. You see, we can't do both. We cannot say we belong to God and bless him and curse man on the other hand. I'm going to give you several things in Proverbs, but I want to look at how powerful our tongue is. God's word said it is the power of life and death. With it, we can give life to someone or death. I opted not to bring a slew of things that I can pull up on any given day on Yahoo News or whatever. People that someone spoke to them, and they thought based on that they should end their life. Rifts between movie stars, singers, actors and actresses, you know, different things that they have going on. Oh, they said this, they said this. Sports figures. Unknown people. And on the flip side, those words can be used to give life. Meeting someone on the edge of a bridge as a policeman pulls them in and speaks to them. And encourages them and helps them find new meaning to their old existence. New meaning to the old existence. Their life may have been full of someone that was feeding them that negative stuff all the time. But nobody came in to encourage them and lift them up. I said several weeks ago that we can be hope to people. And don't think for a second that each one of you cannot be hope and life to somebody. Standing on the other side of what they're currently facing and what they can have by what you say to them. We can choose our tongue to be silent and not help someone, as opposed to being a witness to them. Likewise, at the other end of that is, rather than telling someone what we think, we can choose to be silent in that moment and say, I better hold my tongue. So silence can be a harm or a help, depending on how and when we're using it and doing it. We can condemn people or we can encourage them. We can judge people or we can educate them. We can lie to people about the truth, or we can prophesy and tell them about the truth. We can hurt people, we can heal people. The Bible told the disciples, go out and heal people in my name. We have the power to speak healing over people. We have the power to turn somebody off or to grow them, to bring pain to somebody or to bring peace to somebody, to bring anger to somebody and to spur them on to even more anger. Or as I said, to be silent. I want to read through Proverbs that fits several of these areas. And if you'll bear with me, I'll bounce around. But it covers these areas. The first one, and you don't have to turn there if you want to write it down, but you can. If you can get to Proverbs 10, then we'll just be flipping about a chapter to two chapters at a time. But Proverbs 10, verse 11 through 14. And it says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Okay, keep in mind, it said the mouth of a righteous person is a well of life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And let me stop there and tell you, a lot of times people say, well, they've been through this in their life. Are you sure you want to use them to teach people, to help people? Oh, absolutely, because they've grown from that. and they are a wiser person now, and they can tell me what they've been through when they thought they knew it all. You see, we can't always look around for the perfect people to teach. Now, we have to be a discerning body and discerning leaders to find who we want to lead. But those people can be useful to help heal. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 through 22. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health, or healing, if you will. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace, they have joy in their life. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. And I don't want you to think for a second, well, he just went through the back of his Bible and picked up all these things about the tongue or words. These are very specific to what I talked about, that we can use it for harm or for good. We can use it for death or for life. These tie in specifically to that. But as I went through that list, I didn't want to bounce around the different scriptures that we have for that. Proverbs 15, verse 1 through 7. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. For the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. I love that. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. They share that. But the heart of a fool does not do so. They keep it to themselves. Proverbs 16:23 and 24. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And then over in Proverbs 18, verse 21. Which is really where we started. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Trouble in your life, church? Check first with your tongue. See if you've been lashing that out. It's your spouse, your children, your co-workers, your friends. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Man, I love that. Now, if you would flip back to Psalm chapter 55. Because we've always got to be on the watch. In Psalm 55, I'm going to start in verse 16. And the thing that I want us to look at is really verse 21. But it says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. For he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. Now listen carefully to verse 21. It says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Meet anyone like that? They were smooth. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Sounds good. Sounds soothing. Yet they were drawn swords. We have to watch out for those that are out to deceive us. Those that are out to make us feel good. Those that have other things in their heart. But we all struggle in this area with our tongue. We struggle to take care of that little part of our body. We may be fit as a fiddle, but man, that tongue is out of control. And the fruit of the Spirit talks to us about that in so many different ways. Love and kindness and patience. A lot of those things are what we do with our tongue and how we speak to others. But we need help from God. We need God's help to help us in this area, to give us wisdom on what we say to one another. Now don't think for a second that this is not important. Adam, there's a great vast amount of things we could be talking about, but you're just talking about the tongue and words. Well, me and God. You see, he's got a book filled with things that tell us how to speak and how not to speak. What to watch out for, what to look for when others are speaking to us. How we should discern them. Watch out for that smooth as butter and that soft as oil. But this day and age, it's not only our tongue. Because our words don't just come out of our mouth, do they? Where else do our words come from? Our fingertips. Come on, keyboard kings and queens. You sit back and you type away. It's the spoken word and the written word and the typed word. As a matter of fact, Miss Dorothy said something one time that my wife always brings up. She said, the spoken word cannot be erased. Likewise, when you type it and send it, that cannot be taken back. Oh, you can hit recall email, but someone says, let me see the first one they sent. See what they're trying to recall. And hope they didn't see it. But it's our fingers this day and age that do as much harm as our words or our mouth. Facebook. Snapchat. YouTube. Now some of us, that's just the avenues we go down to communicate. But others of us, you know, always looking for fame somehow. If we can get our 15 minutes of fame by doing something silly or stupid. Hey, look at this guy going cuckoo on his parents. Hey, look at this guy going nuts on his friends. Look at these parents going nuts on their children. Oh my Lord, it has 50,000 hits. Now, I don't do Facebook at all, so I don't know, you know, hey, it's got all these likes or whatever, dislikes. I don't understand that. I don't do it. I don't know about it. But those are just avenues that I know that we use to communicate and to speak words of life and death. They cannot be taken back. Church, look at what you have written. In the last month. Look at what you've said in the last month. Does that edify the body of Christ? Does that glorify God in what we've done? Well, I can raise my hand and say, absolutely not. Oh, I try very hard. I've been studying on this for a couple months. And I've tried to be very conscious. I've caught myself in different situations, be it home, be it work, be it here, saying, I shouldn't say that, or, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I've got to shut my mouth. You see, I've got to learn when to be silent as well. I, too, have to learn how to control my tongue. And I can't do it on my own. I've already proven that I can't do it on my own. I need God's help to do that. We all need God's help to do that. But somehow we feel justified and entitled. They were wrong. Were you selected judge and jury? Are you the one that should be telling them that news, that they were wrong? Is it your battle to fight? What happened to 2 Corinthians? Didn't it tell us something about the new man? Putting on the new man. And we are a new man. Ground zero, teens. You guys are in the thick of the battle over words these days. I want to be the cool one. I don't want them taking advantage of me. I'm tired of being a doormat. Now I've decided to be the tough person this year at school. Whatever it is, you guys are in a battle. And I'm sure Andrew and Chelsea pray over you guys. They talk to you guys. I always say, hey, pick your words carefully that you say to one another. But adults, we're in the battle as well. You see, if we've had a person or a business do us wrong, we want to let them know about it. Trust me, I know. I'm the customer service manager for several stores. And bless my heart indeed. Because I get to see all the time, I am going to tell every single person I know about this. And you just want to respond back. Okay, but do you mind giving them the truth instead of what you sent us? We laugh, but we do it. You guys do it. I know you do it. I've heard some of you talk about it. I blasted them and let them know this is unacceptable. Told them I'll tell everyone. Is that really what God wants us doing? Communicating with the entire free world that this business did us wrong. Did they do you wrong or did they just inconvenience you for a moment? I don't feel now's the time to confess any of my own sins there, but you know, but we want to tell people how we've been wronged. But I don't think God intends us for us to use these different avenues to communicate and spew garbage or spew our dissatisfaction. Why do we feel the need that we need to tell everyone we know that they didn't take care of us? 9 times out of 10 in my business that I deal with outside of church, we didn't do what they wanted because we didn't have to, meaning they weren't within their rights to have us do what they wanted. They just wanted something different than they got. And we have to think in God's eyes. Is that how we see our life? I didn't get what I wanted, so I was wronged. No. We do that with God. God, you didn't give me what I asked for. I was wronged. I'm done with church. There is no God. If there was a God, answer this prayer. I guess there's no God. He didn't answer it. Could someone go outside and see if there's $1 million in the parking lot for me, please? That isn't what I asked for, but my point being, we use these avenues and these words, and we do it so easily. And sometimes we think they'll go away because not everything is saved. But I think God has a different idea for us to use His words. And I think that's to educate one another. when we have our various teachers that are teaching our young kids and our teenagers and those that are doing the Sunday school classes, those that are doing the connect groups and helping people through those processes. God says, I want you to use words in that way to edify the body, to lift them up, to encourage them. As a matter of fact, Dr. Johnson spoke on that last week, telling us what those words are for. And they are to encourage one another and lift one another up and comfort one another. You know, is it comforting when someone looks down and goes, I'm so sorry, but you got what you deserve. Thank you. Maybe if you could use some wisdom to help me as I was going down that path, that would have been great. You know, remember it says, do not be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters. And by the way, it says, remove the stumbling block from their path. But some of us, just like the Adam Sandler movie, we just want to see people hit the stick and fly out of the shopping cart. Oh, did you see that? I forgot to remove the stumbling block. Forgive me, Lord. You didn't forget, you just didn't want to because you wanted to see the accident. And sometimes you want to see people get what they deserve. It's true. I'm telling you. I've seen it. I've done it. I'm not happy, but I'm just telling you. The Labor Day holiday is coming upon us. People think, oh, some extra days off. Do me a favor. Try to take an extra day off from complaining. Try and take an extra day off from Facebook and the likes of the social media. And by the way, people don't always care every 5 seconds what you're doing. Go into the bathroom, out of the bathroom. They don't care. I just strap a camera to your head and be done with it. It's just so tough. But our words are so important. There's very few things that separate us other than our salvation from other people out there. And one of them is our actions and our words. And to me, those speak directly to our relationship with Jesus Christ and where we stand with God and how devoted we are to having Him in our life. But being Lord of our life. Being the master of our life. Giving up control. And some of us, we don't like that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're near the end. But it says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. We shouldn't be surprised. When I was talking to Mark and Jan and the family yesterday, about Miss Dorothy, one of them said, she knew God's promise and she held fast to that. And I thought, oh, I walked out to my office and said, I love that. Did you hear what he said? She knew God's promise and held fast to that. But if you don't pay attention, you can miss it. How did that guy know that? Because she told him and she let him know. And we have to tell other people where we are in our faith. What God is doing in our life. How you doing? Man, I'm having some trouble, but I'm telling you, God is good. His mercies are new when? Every morning. My devotion last week at the Arbor House talked about being thankful, and we read about His mercies are wonderful. I said, my mercy could run out at noon today. We'd better hurry. It could run out at noon today. It could run out at 5. But His mercies last forever. Your family knows because she talked about it. She used her words and her knowledge and her wisdom to share with other people. What an amazing gift. You're not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. By the way, church, we have to wake up. We have to wake up. We cannot continue to sleep and be in a spiritual slumber. We have to wake up. You have to commit to being here and being in fellowship with other believers. Do not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now listen carefully. Therefore, comfort each other. Teenagers, as uncomfortable as it is, comfort one another. I assure you, they need it. Thank you for putting that into action right away. Yes. They need that, whether they say it or not. Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. I heard on the way to work today someone speaking about this and about words, and I thought, oh man, talking about the same thing. But he talked about Jesus Christ, and it talked about forgiveness, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, asking people to forgive us for things that we have said. I asked somebody in the last couple of days to forgive me for something I said. I said, it's gone, it's done. But they said, Jesus Christ went to the cross, was crucified, dead, buried, resurrected for our sins. Now, we hadn't committed them yet, but He has paid the price and is waiting for us to ask for forgiveness. He says, I've paid the price. You are forgiven. I want you to think. And I want you, like the young lady back there, I want you acting on it as soon as you can to say, is there somebody, and I don't mean right this second, unless God tells you, but I'm talking about after church today. Do not wait till tomorrow. If there's someone you need to confess to or ask for forgiveness, to act on that. You see, the good news of the gospel says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive those sins in 1 John. If we confess, we have to confess and we have to tell others about those things when we've hurt them. If we abide or spend time, you know, abiding means to spend time. If we say we spend time with Him, then should we not walk like Him? Several scriptures tell us we should be walking in the Spirit. If we say we're with Him, we should be walking with Him. We should be acting like Him because we're to be Christ-like. Today, I just ask you to let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. Where your tongue slips up, ask Him. Ask Him for help. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. Now the final thing that I want to say is we have to be careful, because some of us can take everybody's words and we can be so hurt and so offended by it. I apologize. On page one I had down, I was supposed to warn you guys, I may step on some toes today, and I just now remembered that. But it was on page one and I blew past it. I may have stepped on some toes. Okay? But some of us take everything people say and say, oh, I'm a victim. I'm hurt by them. You know good and well they didn't mean to hurt you. You know good and well they didn't mean to harm you. Please quit playing the victim. Don't use someone else's words to put you on the negative side and say, oh, they harmed me, when you know that was not their intent. And other people may harm you unintentionally. They have no idea what they said because they didn't mean it that way. Our words reflect what's in our hearts. We know the Scripture tells us that. To me, it tells what's in our heart and where our relationship is with Jesus Christ and with God, and how close we are to Him. When we're near Him, and let me tell you, this church doesn't get you any nearer to God than your home does as far as presence, but I hope it gets you nearer to God through spending time with Him and through study. But when we're near Him, we are transformed and we are changed and we are renewed and we are re-energized to be better people. And little by little that heart changes. I think He says it's time for my dedication, so we better get on with this. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be preparing for baby dedication at this time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we ask today for Your help. For Your help with our words. For Your help with our tongue, that tiny little thing that causes so much harm. God, today we are in Your presence. We are with Your people. We are in Your house today, Lord. What better place than to ask for Your help and Your assistance than to be with Your people. Your word tells us when we have to correct, Lord, that we do it in a spirit of love and gentleness. That we do it with a loving heart and the right motives and attitude. That we do these things with the right spirit. Lord, last week we had a great time of fellowship here on Wednesday night. We ask You to further that through the study of Word with those people. Lord, last Sunday we had 29 people stand up and say that they desired to be closer to You and have a stronger faith in the kingdom. Lord, we pray for that continued boldness for them to search that out and see what their next step is in their journey. Lord, we ask for renewal. We ask for restoration. Lord, we ask for revival within ourselves. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.